Let us pray. Grant us, O Lord, to trust in you with all our hearts. For as you always resist the proud who confide in their own strength, so you never forsake those who make their boast of your mercy. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. God resists the proud who confide in their own strength. I see this in my life. Try as hard as I might, I still fall down on a regular basis, figuratively more than literally. I make mistakes. I'm slow to understand. And I get hooked emotionally by other people's problems. Because what I have inside, my own strength, often it seems it's not enough. So what is the alternative that is offered to us by our collect today? Instead of pride and boasting in our own strength, we may rely upon and even boast of God's mercy. Instead of living out of my own power and independence, I can live out of God's power, out of my dependence upon God, a dependence that I share with every other creature of God. And, as an added benefit, I discover that God's mercy is something that I have in common, in agreement with others. So I wonder, what if that was what God intended from the beginning? Our first reading today is from the book of Exodus. This reading comes from the very middle of the story of the Hebrew Bible, the Passover, God's deliverance of God's people from death. The Passover was the interpretive lens used by the rest of the Hebrew Scriptures, by all the prophets and the wisdom writers. It was also the interpretive lens used by Jesus to understand his own life and death and resurrection. And so it's no coincidence that the central holy day of the Christian year, the day that we celebrate, in fact, every Sunday, is Easter, the resurrection of Jesus. That is the central fact of our faith. Passover is God's miraculous saving work, redeeming God's people from slavery and oppression and setting them free to be a new community, called out from the powers of the world to live as God's community. And our reading from Exodus is concerned with exactly one thing. Remember, God says. Remember what is happening tonight. Remember what God is doing for you. Don't go thinking that you've done it yourself. Don't go boasting in your own strength. Instead, maintain this holiday, remember this celebration, this cornerstone of your liturgical calendar, to keep in mind, to remember the mercy of God acting on your behalf. Remember, this is what you are to boast about. This is the fundamental story of the Jewish people. It's the fundamental story of the Christian people. It is the story on which every other story we tell is based. Not just religious stories, not just Bible stories, all stories and all ideas. This is the story on which all of our arguments, all of our interpretations, all of our understandings, all of our opinions, all of our decisions are based. This story, not any other story, this story is the foundation on which we base our pride and in which we make our boast. This story is the one thing on which we can agree. Because this story is the whole basis of our community. This is the story that we remember in our baptism, in our celebration of Holy Eucharist, and in our observance of the church year. And so, as our nation's election approaches, this is the time of year when candidates and parties are making their cases, and when ordinary people, you and I, are forming our opinions and even arguing about them. And that's normal, right? This is the tug and tussle of a healthy democracy, as has been practiced in our country for 250 years. And sometimes arguments can get heated and passionate. That's part of the game. But when there's no common story to bind all those arguments together, when our opponents come to be characterized as totally other, then things get dangerous. Then we begin to falter in our capacity to see and to sympathize with the humanity, the hurts and the hopes, the goodwill and the worthiness of those who see differently from us. And that is when conversation turns into verbal battles, intended not to confide or to convince, but to dismiss and to demoralize. And we can see where this has led in recent weeks in our country. To violence, to death. But sisters and brothers, that's not who we are as Christ Church. We have something that we agree on. We have gathered together, we have committed to live together in community because we are committed not to a building, not to a clergy person, not to a denomination. We are committed to the story of God's saving work, the story of the Passover, the story of the resurrection, the story of God's powerful love that transcends whatever empire in which we might happen to dwell, and instead invites us to a different citizenship. Citizenship in God's eternal kingdom. So I am a bit of a language nerd. And I noticed in this week's gospel reading that the word agree, when Eli read, "If two of you agree on earth about anything," that word agree is actually the word symphony. Right? It's the Greek word symphony. Now, symphony, as we use the word today, typically refers to a piece of music, right? Or the large group of instruments that plays that piece of music. Now, they're not all the same instruments, and they don't all play the same notes. That's not what it means for them to agree to make a symphony. But agreeing in symphony also does not mean that they each go off and play something suited only to their interests and their instruments. Instead, the members of a symphony have chosen not to confide in their own strength and their own virtuosity, but to make their boast in the mercy of the conductor, who takes that common story, that common score of music, and leads them each to play their different parts. So that what is heard is not just unison, but it's chords and dramatic tensions and harmonic resolutions. different instruments, called to play different lines and different approaches to that central musical idea. The fullness of the piece can only be heard when they're all present and all playing their parts. I think it's rather beautiful that St. Thomas, most years, not this year, but most years, chooses to put on a ham and oyster dinner on election night. Because you know that we're all voting in different ways at the booth that day, but the display of agreement, symphony, of pulling together to do one big thing together that day is stunning. It's a symphony of agreement. It is a remembering of what we have in common. Because together we are boasting in God's mercy, who has called us into community. So our calling as a church is not to live in unison, to agree with one another about everything. Our calling, our foundational premise, is that we agree about one thing. We boast in God's mercy. That mercy shown dramatically at the Passover and in all its fullness in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, the Son of God. That is the foundation of our thoughts, the basis on which we play a symphony of words and actions and arguments, striving to bring to expression the reality of God in our lives every day. It's in the harmonies, the tensions even, that the glory of God, which transcends the capacity of any of us on our own, it's through those harmonies and tensions that that glory will become manifest. This is something that our neighbors are desperately asking for in these hyper-partisan times. As we remember to make our boast in God's mercy, we will discover that our habit of love for one another and for our neighbor, the power of God at work within us, this will save us from despair and make the world around us a better place. Amen.